Not that it was a tense, none of that mattered at that moment to them. And after a few moments, it didn't matter no more to me. Because both of my children said, I want to read to you, Daddy, before I go to bed. It was the first time that I think in memory that both of them at the same time and at the same moment wanted to read to their father before they went to bed. I had been so used to reading them a bedtime story. Even though they have the greatest mother in the world, who is a librarian by trade, she keeps books in our home like our home is the public library. Don't tell her I said that about her, please. We have bookshelves everywhere. And our children read. And they have gotten to the point where they're so proficient that they can now read to their parents. I laid in Ian's bed with my blanket, sucking my thumb as my son read to me. I had been used to getting out Llama Llama, I Love My Mama, Jack and the Beanstalk, The Ugly Duckling, The Tortoise and the Hare. But on this occasion, my son read me a bedtime story. And after that, the older sibling got out of her novel and began to read to me a whole chapter. I guess the game ended at some point in time. But when your children love reading, how can you deny them of that joy? And then we want to thank God for the gift of TiVo. Somebody stealing their neighbor's cable so they don't know what TiVo is. You can tell them after services. You give back their Netflix login to them. For many of us, if you put your memory in motion, you remember those wonderful evenings. Tedious for some of us who work at night, work many jobs. But one of the joys of life is reading your child a bedtime story. To get them interested and intrigued in reading, but also to allow their imaginations to be cultivating. That is one of the things that reading does, besides just teaching them how to read and how to be thinkers, but allows our children to have rich imaginations and allow them to spiritually transport themselves to a different place, a different locale, and realize, especially if they're reading the right books, that they truly can be any and everything they want to be. Don't pay lip service to reading. And don't allow your children to not read. And do not allow them to get on your nerves to the point that you give up. See, a lot of us just give up after our children complain so much. And see, all of us still need to have a belt ministry. Superintendent is scared of the school board. School board is scared of the voters. Teachers scared of the principal. Teachers are scared of the kids. But the kids ain't scared of nobody. That's the generation y'all raising. And only thing my dad had to do at 3134 Wynwood Place, Columbia, South Carolina, 29204, was raise his hand. And that was enough for me. Only thing my mama had to say is, wait till your daddy. And that was enough for me. But we are raising a generation who is not obedient because we don't make them. And so on Thursday night, my kids read their father stories at bedtime. But 2,000 years ago, I declare unto you that this bed in the text was the story. You remember, don't you, what happened that day? Jesus, your Savior, opened up a free medical clinic in the city of Capernaum. We know by now that Capernaum was actually the city where he lived for at least the last 3 years of his life. Even though he was born in Bethlehem, even though he was reared in Nazareth, Capernaum became the place where he lived for the last years of his life. It is in the city of Capernaum that he opens up again better this free medical clinic. It was known by now when he was in his 30s that he had miracle hands, that he could do anything with his hands, that he was in the healing business. And so people knew that he was in town, that he was in the city. And so everybody who had any type of medical affliction in the area came to see Jesus. We know that there were so many people because when these gentlemen brought this man who had been on the bed who was paralyzed or paralytic, that means he was paralyzed. He could not walk to the medical clinic on his own. He needed other people to get to him to the medical clinic. They decided to bring him on his bed out of his house to see Jesus at another house. They knew he could not walk, that he could not get to the house themselves, so they thought it not robbery. They thought that they could help this man by getting him to the house. Let me ask you a question again. How many people have you brought to the house? How many people have you picked up and brought to the house? Do you just pay lip service to evangelism? But how many people have you actually brought to the house? One thing to tell your children to invite your friends to church. It's another thing to go pick them up and be outdoor bonking on the horn. Can't get no help in here. Let me see what this side talking about today. I mean, how many people have you invited? How many people have you even told at your job where you even go to church? Or do they even know you go to church? Let me try this side. Can they tell by your living? Can they tell by your actions? Can they tell by your mouth? Can you tell that you brought them lunch and bring other people lunch? I mean, can people actually tell that you go to church? Or is your membership just name on a paper? So these men brought this man to church. The Bible says there were so many people around the door that they could not get the man through the front door. And it's one of two things that are going on here, Reverend Smith, is either that there were too many people around the door, everybody was in line, and nobody could get through because there were so many people in line, or is it that the bed couldn't get through the door? Is it the fact that in 2,000 years ago, the huts were so small that this bed that this man was laying on could not even physically get through the door? And I want to tell somebody and prophesy in your life, God has got a blessing so big coming your way in 2020 that it might not even get through your front door. And I need somebody to receive that in their spirit, that God has got some blessings that are so big, they might have to stay outside with a big bow on that neck. Because I wish I had somebody who's believing in something that God can do for them that's so big. You ain't going to be able to hold it. But even if it's that big, God has a way of working things out. And I don't know which one of them four brothers said, let's go up. But one of them said, let's go up. And the Bible says that they took the roof off the house. Hey. The roof is... Oh, I had a flashback. Don't need no water. Stop right now. Stop. Press your brake. Tell them when you get home. They take the roof off the house and lower the man down to see Jesus. I wish I had enough time to talk about lower the man down. See, some of y'all want to punch a blessing. Some of y'all just want to hand money and then keep the moving. You know, a lot of churches like to raise money and send it to Africa. Go to Africa yourself. Y'all, we like to do the easy stuff. So they lowered the man down. And the Bible says that Jesus wasn't moved by the roof coming off his house. He wasn't moved by the things coming apart because he knows if he had already put it together, he could put it back together again. He's a carpenter, you know. You know he's in the repair business, all right? So he wouldn't even move. He wouldn't even move, Tiffany, by the roof coming apart because he knew he could build another roof. And whatever you have been dealing with in your life, whatever seems to be coming apart in your life, God can put it back together. Without Elmer's glue. He saw their faith. And it says, by your faith, you have been made whole. Sometimes it ain't the doctor. Sometimes it ain't the medicine. Sometimes it ain't even the surgery. It's the faith, y'all, that makes you whole. You can be healed even before you get to the doctor if you believe. Then here come the haters. Get them, somebody. They here on your road too. They looking at your shoes and your purse. They saw what you drove up in. Everybody ain't happy. And then let me tell you, the people who ain't happy. The people who ain't happy, who are the ones who come here every Sunday who ain't got blessed with what they want to get blessed with yet. And see all what they think are your blessings. But they don't see your mortgage payment. Everybody want to drive my car. Until I tell them you get the car in the payment coupon book. Then they walk away more. You can have the keys and the coupon book. See, you got to water your grass. You got to fertilize your grass. I know it looks green on the other side, man, but some people take a lot of time with their grass. You know, it takes time sometimes to get what you got. Don't be shamed about it either. What God's got for you, anybody know he's got it for you, amen, and nobody can take it away. So this man is blessed. Here come the haters, and Jesus discerns in their spirit. They want to know, number one, who sinned. Because beginning this time, I'm not going to hold you too long, beginning this time, they believe that any medical malady, anything that happened wrong in your life is because somebody sinned or even your parents sinned. That all your bad habits, all your problems, all your issues, all your maladies in life come because either you or your parents sinned. And that's how you got crippled. Told y'all last week, and that's get everybody be in a wheelchair up in here. We wouldn't even need no chairs if that's the case. If everybody sinned, became crippled, everybody be rolling up in here. Because the Bible says if you say you have not sinned, you's a, I love it. Ain't sugarcoat, ain't no problem with the truth. Ain't no Trump alternative facts. You's a liar! And the truth ain't in you. So he says, ain't nobody sinned. Ain't nobody sinned. Don't be worried about how he got healed. Just understand who did it. Just understand who did it. And then he tells that man, take up your bed and walk. Now, my brothers and my sisters, this scene is very familiar to the same scene in John chapter 5, where Jesus heals the man in the pool of Bethesda. He tells that man, and I'm not sure that Mark probably was there, heard the story, man, again. Now, these things are written 30, 40, 50 years after Jesus died. And so I don't know if they're putting the two stories together, and that's fine, even if they are, because in the same story, he tells the man, take up your bed and walk. Now, on that day in John 5, we know it's on the Sabbath, and you couldn't be moving on the Sabbath. But God said, the Sabbath is not made. Yes, but that you might do the work, that he can do the work. It don't matter what day of the week it is for Jesus. And God is going to make a way out of no way. Whenever he can make it, there's no time, no stand, no place that he cannot prevent himself from doing what he needs to do. And so after he checks them, sometimes you got to get your neighbor in check. He tells the man, I told you, take up your bed and walk. Bible says that the man took up his bed and walked and went into his own house. Because again, you got to first start at your house. Your testimony has got to begin in your own house. Amen. Your praise has got to be in. Anybody ever had a closet praise? I mean, you had a closet praise not because you had shoes. You had a closet praise not because you had clothes. You were just in a tight space, and when God put you in that tight space, he reminds you how he's gotten you out of some tight spaces, and you just had to give God the praise right there in your closet. You know, some of the best praise you have is in your car, in your home, not only even on Sunday morning. So he tells the man, take up your bed and walk. And the man was obedient and obeyed. Let me tell you three things about this bed and we'll be on our way. First of all, I want you to know that this bed symbolizes memory. Somebody say memory. This bed symbolizes memory. Now, there's some of us, you know, our memory ain't as good as it used to be. I'm having more brain freezes at 45 than I've ever had in my life.
You know, it interests me about people, I joke about all the time, people who say they're going to Europe, people who say they're going overseas to find themselves. I mean, don't they know their brain go with them? It's their eyes that were here go with them. All right? You can't control your mind. And when our loved ones would get dementia and Alzheimer's, they can't control that, all right? Because your mind is a tricky thing. And again, those of us who are getting a little age on us, you know, we're beginning to realize that our mind ain't as good as it used to be. You ever been looking for your glasses and they're right on your head? You ever been looking for your car keys and they right in your hand? You ever go in a room and get in that room and say, what the hell I come in here for? Oh, I ought to have another witness up in there. I know I'm not the only one. Man, we getting old, y'all. We getting old. We getting old. And it ain't stopping. You can't stop it. I don't care how much you drink. I don't care how much cocoa butter. I don't care what you do, baby. You get Botox all you want, it's still going to fall apart. You're on your third wig because the first two got old. Where's Boutte when you need her? Where's Boutte when you need her? So Jesus creates a physical memory for this man because Jesus wants us none to ever forget where you come from. You can never forget where you come from. God has been very good. I said, God has been very good. You living better than you ever lived before. You driving better than you ever drove before. You working better than you ever worked before. You don't even have to go to the bank. They put the money in your eye. I wish I had a few witnesses up in there. You don't have to do no deposit slip. You ain't got to go to the ATM. Your money be in there before you wake up. Come on, somebody. You don't come from 9 to 6. You don't come from Waffle Lot. You don't come from a shotgun house. You don't come when your daddy had to sell tin cans. And you can't. She got a good husband. She got to be reminded. we went to Paris, and I don't know where we went, some confessionary, and we got this chocolate-covered Eiffel Tower, or chocolate, all-chocolate Eiffel Tower for Leah. That was, what, 3-4 months ago? We still got it. It ain't, no, I don't know what they put in this coffee. I mean, this chocolate, it must be steel. But we still got it, and it ain't changed. All right, what we bought our daughter was a keepsake. She ain't go. Don't even get it in your mind to go. She ain't go, but we bought some chains, some shirts, and some t-shirts, and some other trinkets. They didn't go. They didn't experience. They didn't feel it. They didn't walk it. But they got to get something from it. See, let me tell you something. You might not have been through what your neighbor's been through. You might not have felt everything your neighbor's been through. But, baby, you got some keepsakes in your life to remind you of everything you've been through. That somebody can understand. Somebody can empathize with your pain, can empathize with your shout. See, people don't need to understand what you shout about. You know, don't be concerned if somebody's shouting and gets happy on your own. They're just thinking about the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for them. They just got to think, I don't care if you ain't satisfied. I don't care if you ain't happy. I got some keepsakes in my life to remind myself where I was or where God is putting me right now. And if I don't have those keepsakes, I might forget to thank God for them. That's why y'all who've been on blood pressure medicine, keep the bottle. Those of you who have been in a bad relationship, keep the picture of him. Put it by the door. Remind yourself how good you got it right now. Whether you got a new man or no man, you still got peace. You ever been on crutches? Keep one. To remind yourself, don't have that nothing in your life be a crutch to your progress. There's some things God's going to give you to keep, y'all. There's going to be some thorns in your flesh that God's never going to take away, because he keeps them there to remind you to keep talking to him. Keep praising him. Keep thanking him. It's a memory. It's a memorial. The third and finally, it's a message. This man, who obviously everybody knew couldn't walk, begins walking with his bed on his back. Stephanie, everybody in town knew he was paralyzed. The four men who got him knew that he was paralyzed, and that's why he needed to see Jesus. Dr. Boston, he could not walk. He was crippled. But knows he didn't have to go to Health South. He didn't need no rehab. He didn't have to have nobody teach him how to walk again. The first thing that he does is put a bed on his back. Now, anybody of you ever had surgery on any type of muscle or had to go through rehab? I had to have shoulder surgery for, I don't know what it was, but lifting weights, that's what happened. Why are y'all laughing? I didn't say how much it was. You got to lift a donut, that's weight. Anyway, I know I had to go to rehab, and when you start rehab, you don't start lifting at the same weight that you were when you were at the gym. They start you with 1, 2, 3, 4, and you do the same. It's tedious. It's aggravating. Anyone had an ACL? It's just tedious work, one after the other, until your body gains endurance and your muscle begins gaining strength. But watch the text. Jesus don't take the man through no rehab program where he has to learn from zero and go the way up and learn how to walk again. Once God heals you, you are strong enough to put anything and put any weight, and stuff should not bother you anymore, because, baby, you're strong enough. If you've been through hell and you done come back, you are strong enough to handle anything. And when people saw him, they wondered, how is this man that could not walk? How is this man that could not do anything on his own? How is this man that was depressed and downtrodden? How is he able to carry the weight of said, the man. I said, the man. You know what man I'm talking about, don't you? That man. Lady, behold, every time he walked, somebody asked the question, who gave you the power and the authority to carry your bed on your back? And what that bed becomes really is advertisement for Jesus. Because when they saw the man's bed on his back, they had to ask the question, who gave you the authority to carry your bed on your back? Who gave you the strength to carry your bed on your back? Who gave you the power to carry that bed on your back? We know your story. We know where you come from. And we just want to know today, how did you get here with all the strength and might that you have right now? And every time they ask the question, he had to tell them, that man. That man. I said, that man. He's got power in the hem of his garment. That man. That can turn water into wine. That man. That took a silver hand and made it brand new. That man. That caused blind Bartimaeus to see again. And gave him the first verse to Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. Was blind, but now I see, and that's why I like to talk about far all the time. It's not about far, it's not about what far has done, but every time far shouts, he's advertising what Jesus has done in his life. That's why I like to talk about McQueen and the fact that he was on the kidney list for years and years and years, and we thought that he would never get a kidney, but one day they called and said, can you be in D.C. in the morning? And he's here in church right now. That's why I like to talk about Veronica Isaac, who's a 20-year pancreatic cancer survivor. I wish I had a witness here. I might not know your story, but I believe everybody in here has a story. And I wish I could pull the room this morning and want to know, does anybody want to advertise for Jesus right now? Has he been good? I said, has he been good? Can I get a witness up in here this Sunday morning that God has made a way out of nowhere? Let me pull the room right now. Has he healed you? Say yes. Has he delivered you? Say yes. Has he been good to you? Say yes. Can I pull the room one more time? Have you ever been down on your sick bed, but you're here right now? Anybody want to thank God? You got a message for the world that you know the Lord would do it every time he will. Jesus, stand on your feet. Let me tell y'all something. Let me ask you a question. If Coca-Cola stopped advertising, would you stop drinking it? No. I mean, I know all y'all on Atkins and keto, but it'd be before. If Chick-fil-A stopped advertising, you start thinking you